Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Thursday afternoon edition of the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK, and Sean Carey. We're live, and Steve is in the Sunbury Motors studio in just a few moments. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Matt Catrillo at the anchor desk this afternoon. He'll have our late-day news roundup at 5:06. Penn State Coaches Show from Primanti's in downtown State College tonight, 6:05 with Steve. And then coming up this evening at just after 7, we will have Shikellamy Wrestling. The Braves take on Jersey Shore tonight. Steve Williams will be alongside the Res Light with all the play-by-play. And once that is over this evening, we will have for you the continuation of the Penn State-Ohio State games. That's all coming up for you later on today. Got a busy one on tap. Scheduled to join us at 3:35, Dave Revson from Big Ten Network. Get his thoughts on tonight's matchup and the handful of games that are left in the Big Ten regular season basketball schedule. And then next hour, we have lined up Neil Coulong. It's always great to get some NFL conversation going with Neil and Steve. He's up at 4:06, and then we'll wrap up the show today with some Philly talk at 4:35 with Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. So Dave Resvin, and then we'll have, of course, next hour, Neil Coulong, and joining us will be Matt Leon. Scheduled for tomorrow, we'll have Bucknell head coach Nathan Davis. Bison last night with an easy time over Loyola. Next up will be a road trip to Holy Cross. So while Nathan is on the road to Holy Cross tomorrow, we'll have him check in at 3:35. And also we'll have College Hall of Fame basketball writer Dick Weiss will join us at 4:06. Then we'll have our hoop picks tomorrow afternoon when Steve's brother Kevin Jones will check in from Connecticut at 4:35. Don't forget to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both the Apple Podcast app, iTunes, and Google Play. Take a quick break and continue with the Steve Jones Show right back after this on WKOK.
February is the month of love, and Sunbury Motors Hyundai is spreading the love all month long with the best import value in the valley.
Love.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Set yourself apart from the SUV crowd with a brand new Hyundai Tucson starting at
$23,333.
Or a Santa Fe Sport with savings of
$47.50.
Every Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. When you buy a Hyundai from Sunbury Motors Hyundai, you have a dealership that's been satisfying customers for 103 years behind you, spreading the love the entire month of February.
Love.
SMC loves satisfying customers.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. And it's sunburyhyundai.com. A tradition of trust since 1915. Come in during February and help them spread the love.
All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Neil Coulong in the next hour, and the final half hour, Matt Leon, Mike DeCourcy in the next half hour. Talk to Mike, college basketball. And so great to have you with us on board today. Penn State and Ohio State tonight. Yeah, the coaches show is on tonight, and it is going to be Associate Head Coach Keith Ergo in the first half hour of the show. Then the second half hour will be Mark Pavlik, the men's volleyball coach. We will talk with him about his team. They've got Sacred Heart and Harvard coming up this weekend. And then after I get a half-hour break, which will allow me to drive from downtown to get to the Jordan Center, back on at 7:30 tonight. With Penn State playing Ohio State, the conference leader, head-to-head. Mikayla Shiffrin won a gold medal last night. Could be the first of maybe four. We'll see for her. But again, it happened at 12:45 in the morning. I know I watched her first run, but I never saw her second run. I never saw it. Because at that point, it was nighty-night time. Now, and the West Coast, I remember, though, on the West Coast, where there's significant viewership, it was 9:45 at night, and they were able to see it live.
Yeah, about that time last night, that's when we had a chance to see, finally had a chance to get a good 40-45-minute look of nonstop live downhill, which was good.
Which was really good. It was great seeing a lot of downhill, for example. I thought that was great. To see that, I watched a significant portion of that.
Yeah, those Denmark guys were rocking. The Vikings taking gold and silver there.
I'm a big fan. Love the Vikings.
Yeah.
Fly down that mountain, baby. Fly down that mountain. That was. But Mikayla Shiffrin won last night. I mean, for NBC, that's exactly what they needed. They needed to get that kind of boost. Out of what was going on.
And you notice when each skier was about two-thirds, three-quarters of the way down, and you can kind of get a long shot down with the bleachers, looked like for both the men's and women's events, looks like they were barely half full.
Yeah, you know, but there's another part, too, though. Remember, if we're watching it, say we're watching it live at 10 in the morning, it's noon there. Well, something tells me this isn't a national holiday either.
Kind of on purpose. I'm just kind of looking at the stands. Just that we've talked about it so much. You know, when we take the business end of it with Tony Knopp and, you know, how sparse the crowd was in Rio 2 years ago. And I even saw some empty seats of the figure skating. I mean, I did too.
I figured
the two places where you figure they would be sellout would be both the indoor speed skating and the figure skating.
Short track. Because short track in South Korea is a gigantic sport. They love short track there. And you're right. I saw empty seats at the figure skating. And they claim they're sold out. But, I mean, how are you sold out? Are you sold out by giving away tickets? And supposedly that's the rumor. They gave away tickets. I mean, I don't know. So that's... That is an issue. I don't think there's any question about that. That is an issue. Part of it, too, is remember, if we're watching events that are live, those events are taking place where they go in the air at 8 o'clock. That means it's 10 a.m. there, and the coverage runs until 1 in the afternoon, 1:30 in the afternoon there. Yeah, how many people have to go to work? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if people are getting time off to go to the Olympic Games. I think a good gauge will be this weekend, the middle weekend, where people have time off. That's something that I think we'll take a good long look at over the weekend in terms of attendance. Now, whatever happens tonight. I can tell you right now, there'll be one person on this broadcast that is absolutely not watching a single second of Olympic Games tonight. I'm a little bit busy. I'm a little busy tonight. A little busy. That'll be tonight. And that it has all the earmarks. You never know. They all play out differently. Every game plays out differently. But it has all the earmarks of being a really good matchup between Penn State and Ohio State. Now we'll see how it plays out. Good start wouldn't hurt, but it's one of those games that you have to play 40 minutes. I mean, no question about that, because Ohio State's already shown that if they get behind in a game, like they did at Purdue, they've got enough in the tank to come back. So when you have a chance to put a team like that away, you have to put them away because they are really good at staying with it. Now, older teams do that. Cam Williams, for example, is a senior. He will be back tonight. I don't think he's going to start. I think they'll bring him off the bench, but he'll be back tonight. He's a senior. We talked a lot about Kaita Bates-Diop. You'll see he's listed as a junior. In reality, he is a redshirt junior, so academically he is a senior. He's in his fourth year in the program. Jayshon Tate is a four-year player as well. He is a senior who's played all 4 years there. So they've got elements of youth on the team, and C.J. Jackson and Caleb Wesson and Micah Potter and Musa Jello. Okay, they've got that. But they also have a blend with older players. Bates-Diop, Tate, Cam Williams, Andrew Dokic, all older players that have been around the block. And that's why when you look at them, there's no real quit in them because they've seen everything in the course of their careers. Now, for Penn State, Penn State's transitioning into being an older team. They're transitioning into being an older team. Simple as that. Because, you know, they're now headed toward the end of their sophomore seasons. You're talking about players now that are playing right around their 60th games of their respective careers. And because they're about to play around the 60th game of their respective careers, they're making the transition to being an older team. And they are playing like an older team, and they're playing like a team. Josh Reeves fulfills that was the last piece. Getting him back got them back on track because that gave them the additional ball mover, the additional shooter, the additional rebounder, right? The additional passer, and especially gave them the additional defender out there. That's a really, really good one-on-one on the ball defender. They got all that back when they got him back. And Cam Williams actually is a really, really good three-point shooter, 46% on the season. They'll get him back tonight. Against Penn State, though, the irony was is he didn't shoot the three that well, but he actually did a good job of driving the ball and getting points. I think he had 8 points in that game. You'll hear from the Ohio State perspective that Penn State hit 11 threes in the game. That is absolutely accurate. But you'll never hear from the Ohio State perspective that, guess what? They didn't miss a single free throw in the game. They were 19 for 19 at the free throw line, and they hit 4 threes in the final 3 minutes of the game to eventually tie the game. That's how they tied it up. That's how they tied it up. Penn State, you look at the trend of the game, led almost the entire game. Now, in part because every time they needed something, they'd get a three-pointer. And that was big to Penn State staying in front. Tonight, we'll see how it plays out. I have no idea what the crowd's going to be tonight. None. Zero. So that I don't know. I know that there's been a push, especially with the students, to get more students in there. I know Thon does start tomorrow. I understand that completely, and we'll just go from there. I'm not kind of, honestly, I'm not, you know, many years ago I'd get really concerned about that stuff. Now, you know, I'm like, okay, people want to show, they want to show. They don't want to show, they don't want to show. I mean, I can't say or do anything that is going to change someone's mind as to whether they should or shouldn't go to a game. It's not. And, you know, you come to that realization at some point in your career. Like, you want to go? You'll go. If you don't feel like going, you're not going to go. So, can't force you to. Can't force you to. Simple as that. And that's, now, a lot of people will be watching tonight. I think there'll be a lot of people probably watching on TV. I think it's going to be a really good game. Yeah, it has a chance to be a really good game between the two. And we'll hear from Mike DeCourcy in the next half hour about Penn State, state of the game, then Neil Coulong in the 4:06 half hour. Then we'll get to Matt Leon in the final half hour of the show today. Great to have you with us on the show. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And then, of course, we'll also have picks tomorrow. Now, we've started down the road of basketball picks here. And so the first ones are out of the gate.
Yeah, you and I are 2-1, and the King is 1-2, but plenty of time.
Do not tell the King.
No. Actually, he emailed me back this morning. He says he's got a craving for pickles.
We're going to be hearing that for months.
I know.
Until it's finally hand-delivered up there.
Yeah.
Might as well, like, when it comes time to, like, deliver them, and I'm going to have to deliver them at some point. Maybe I'll do it, like, I don't know, Memorial Day weekend or something like that.
There you go.
I'm just going to have to get a whole bunch of them. Just stack them in the back. Talk to Corey about what it takes to keep them preserved and so forth. Ay, ay, ay. You might as well give him a wide variety. Might as well make him feel like he really got something for all this.
Yeah, he'll be looking for only maybe like just 5 or 6.
Right.
They'll end up with like 5 or 6 containers of pickles.
Yeah, containers.
Pickles. Yeah.
We're looking at containers.
He'll love that.
Yeah.
That'll blow him out
all
of
right,
the water.
All right, today... If that's what it takes, I'm all for it.
Well, you know, we got to lock him up for another year on the show.
Yeah, before he locks us up.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Next hour, Neil Coulong and Matt Leon. This half hour, Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News and BTN. Penn State plays Ohio State tonight. And the coaches show will be 6:05 to 7. Associate head coach Keith Ergo of the basketball team on the first half hour. And Mark Pavlik, the men's volleyball coach, in the second half hour. Then a half hour break to drive between downtown and the Jordan Center. And then back on the air at 7:30 with Dick Girardi. And at 8 o'clock tip tonight as Penn State takes on 8th-ranked Ohio State. Time now for this day in sports history. In 1946, Edith Houghton, at the age of 33, was signed as a baseball scout by the Philadelphia Phillies, becoming the first female scout in the major leagues. First American to win the Women's World Figure Skating Championship, the state in 1953, 17-year-old Tenley Albright. 1962, CBS-TV bought the exclusive rights to college football games from the NCAA for a figure of $10.2 million. 1965, NFL teams pledged not to sign college seniors until they had completed all their games, including bowl games. Phil Esposito, 1,000th career point with the Boston Bruins on this date in 1974. Wayne Gretzky, NHL record, 7 assists in a game against the Washington Capitals. Gretzky also set a rookie record of 96 points in 1980. 1996, the NFL Football Rules Committee voted to put overtime in, starting in the 1996 season. And in 1998, Dale Earnhardt Sr. won NASCAR's Daytona 500 for the first time in his 20th attempt. That's this day in sports history. With that, now we bring in Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News BTN. Mike, always a pleasure. Great to hear you.
Hi, Steve. It's great to talk to you. Mike, I'll get to the Big Ten in a moment. But as we know, with the NBA Players Association, one and done has been there, and one and done's been used well by the Kentuckys and the Dukes and others along the way. Should we read anything into it that so many teams that are currently perceived as being among the better teams or the older teams this year, should we read anything more into it, or is it just this particular season?
Well, I think for one, it's this particular season at this particular point. I think that we still don't know how it's going to turn out. We've seen that some of those veteran teams have, for instance, Virginia was a loser at home to Virginia Tech, and we saw Villanova lose, albeit with two starters down or two regulars down, to St. John's. So we don't know how it's going to play out in the end. Maybe Duke wins it. I don't think Kentucky will, but maybe Duke does. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but I don't think that we can ever draw broad conclusions from it other than those conclusions some people want to draw, and those who are opposed to the concept of the age limit rule will use whatever. Hey, believe me, they'll make stuff up. So if they can just use the facts of this in this particular year, we have a lot of really good veteran teams. If they can use that, they'll do that. I mean, because they don't have to make that up. They can just misinterpret it.
Right. And you notice the way I asked the question. I left it very open-ended. There was no opinion in there.
I know. I don't know where you stand on it. I mean,
yeah.
I wrote an article about a month ago or so about the age limit rule and the one and done, whatever you want to call it. And I pointed out that the biggest problem with the rule is that the public discourse about it has been ruled by lies from the very beginning. Stuff that's just flat made up, or exaggerated. Such as they don't go to class in the second semester. They just go one term and then leave. Well, it's happened. It also can happen for senior players. There's nothing stopping it. Or a junior player who thinks he's going to the draft. It can happen for anybody. So there's that. But the reality is that the teams that have used it the most, Kentucky and Duke, have no choice but for their players to finish the school year, at least in vast majority, because if they didn't, it would damage their programs. The academic progress rate punishes you if that player doesn't finish the term. And if you have enough of that, then eventually you're losing scholarships and practice opportunities and maybe even your tournament bid. So it's not true, but it's still out there, and it still gets repeated over and over again.
Well, I'll give you at least a part of my opinion on this, and it's only part, but I've felt over the years, and it's interesting because somebody asked me at a basketball club luncheon about Nebraska today, and I said they give Tim Miles a lot of credit that he's been able to take transfers like Copeland, Palmer, Gill, and he's been able to make them into a team. And I said that's where Krzyzewski and Calipari do not get a lot of credit, with the turnover they've had to take young players, convince them this is how you play defense, convince them that this is how you talk on the floor. I said they don't get enough credit for how they construct teams and get a team bonding situation going, where everybody just thinks it's all talent, they just roll the ball and go.
Oh, absolutely, Steve. And that's been true for John for the entire time he's been at Kentucky, because his first team had four such players, Daniel Orton being the fourth. It wasn't a huge part of their rotation, but was on the team, and they otherwise had Bledsoe and Wall and Cousins, who all left after the year. And then they've had several such players on most of their team since, and he has done a terrific job of getting those players to blend. And he's struggling with that now, in part because the players aren't quite as talented. There isn't a John Wall or a Anthony Davis in that group, or a Carl Towns. And so it's a struggle because they can't out-talent their way through some games through some difficult games so that they can get a comfort level and get some confidence and get some excitement about their program. They have to really fight in every game because they've got very good players, don't get me wrong, but they don't have anybody that's extraordinary. And so that becomes an issue for them. So this one's been a little bit more of an endeavor, but the fact that it is an endeavor shows you how great he did with the other teams.
That's right. Exactly right. I want to get to Ohio State. That'll be next for Penn State, obviously, coming up on Thursday night. They've been able to win at home convincingly over Michigan State, and then they had that great win where they rallied and beat Purdue at Mackey. What are the elements that's allowed Chris Holtmann's team to be this good at this stage?
I think, first of all, they've got a great player. And Kata Bates-Diop is tremendous. I think I just saw him projected in one of the big mock drafts, and I hate mock drafts, but there are points to be drawn from them from time to time, and I think he was probably around the last five picks in the first round, and I just laugh. I mean, there's no way in the world, if Kata goes after this year, that there are 25 better prospects than him. It's not possible, because I've seen him play almost every game this year, and he does things that ordinary players don't do. And I will give you a perfect example, the Purdue game. You guys had a game that night because I listened to you guys on the way to the game, so I'm not sure how much you got to see of it. But Dakota Mathias was phenomenal defending Kata. Just didn't give him any room at all. Didn't let him breathe. And Kata still scored 18 points, and I think he was 9 for 18 from the floor or something like that. Whatever it was, he was 50-50 from the floor, 50%. So, and one of the plays, he went into the post, and Dakota was right in his chest, and I can't remember who it was that flipped him a half alley-oop pass. It wasn't above the rim, but it was a little below the rim. And Kata went up and just tipped it over his head and into the bucket. It was a ridiculous play, but it's what great scorers do. And he's also a very good defender for a guy who's a scorer. He's not an elite athlete, so I get that he's not a lottery pick, but that guy's going to make a lot of money and play a long time in the NBA. And so they've got the star. And then they've got incredible leadership on court from Jayshon Tate. That guy is an absolute warrior. And a year ago, he was younger, so they had seniors on their team, so it was hard for him to lead. They didn't have enough weapons. They didn't have Kata because he was hurt. And so Jayshon had to do things he wasn't really capable of doing, and he didn't get to do the thing he does best, which is lead. Now he leads, and they basically say, okay, Jayshon, you do these things well. Offensive rebounding, driving the ball to the rim if you can get to your left hand. Occasionally if you're wide open, go ahead and shoot it, but it's not a priority. And they confine him to do the things he does. And you add that together with the very good point guard play from CJ, and you've got a terrific team.
Yeah.
And I've been, one of the things that's impressive to me, I was at the Purdue game, and they didn't play well. I mean, they really didn't. Purdue played worse, but Ohio State didn't play well. And they still won on the road and part of the reason they didn't play well was because Purdue played awful offensively, but like I said, they still battled on the defensive end. And eventually Ohio State just willed their way to that. And that's a sign of somebody that's got something special. That doesn't mean they're going to make the Final Four or anything like that, but they've got a special character about that team. And I, like I said, I think it starts on the floor with Jayshon and obviously off the floor with a terrific coaching staff led by Chris Holtmann.
Who's done a great job, because you and I both know CJ is not a natural point guard out there. And I think to do this without a natural point guard, I think tells you something about buy-in, but also tells you something about the structure of how they do things to make sure they get the most out of the spot.
Yeah, I mean, I think he may not be a natural. He may not have great vision and that sort of stuff, but he doesn't make mistakes. I mean, he's a smart player. He's a good open shooter. So, I mean, the way they play, especially with a guy like Kata, doesn't demand that they have great setups. You know, that you know, Ikeda can get his own stuff. Jayson drives the ball, like I said. It's amazing to me how anybody ever lets him have his left hand, but they can't seem to take it away. You know, you've got, inside Wesson, Caleb Wesson is, you know, if you can just make a simple entry pass to him, he's got a chance. And I think CJ's done a really good job of working on that. So that he's capable of doing it. And, you know, like I said, the others are skilled offensive players. Jayson is not a great shooter, but he's an excellent passer. So what CJ doesn't do in terms of feeding the post, you can have Jayson do. I'll tell you, Jayson had a play in Saturday's game when we had it on our air, where he drove the baseline and on the right side. So he's driving against his natural hand and went out behind the goal, floated across, and threw a rip right-handed pass right to a shooter. Can't remember who made the shot, but it was ridiculous. I mean, that kind of stuff is happening now. They have great confidence.
Yeah, there's certain players that fall into that X factor category, at least to me, and I'll throw three names out. X factor guys that make people around them better. Dakota Mathias, I've always said Jayson Tate, Josh Reeves.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, I don't remember who they were playing at the time, but I remember the first time I saw Josh play for Penn State, like the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I mean, I knew right away that he was special because he does all the things that make a player good. And I knew right away, and I started talking about him. I adopted him that day in the green room up at BTN because I just think he's continued to escalate his athleticism and his skill level since then. Back then, it was, you know, a guy who really knew how to help his team as a freshman, and now it's continued to escalate to where he can really handle, pass, shoot. He's terrific. And, you know, it's no coincidence that they go 1-3 while he's absent and 4-1 when he's back. It's going to be very interesting to see what they can do with the games they have remaining down the stretch.
Yeah, because I know in a football sense, we talk about how Saquon Barkley can make a team better, but I've always told everybody that I thought Trace McSorley was the one guy that made Barkley better. Tony Carr makes a team better. Josh Reeves is the one guy that makes Tony Carr better.
You're 100% right, because when he was out, and it was, you know, Tony has had to learn how to play with other good players, basically. And that's been, you know, it's been an effort at times. I mean, he has, you know, he knows he's gifted, and he is. So at times, he's relied too much on his own gifts. And when Josh is around, that takes some of the playmaking pressure off of Tony. And so I think Tony plays more naturally when he's around. I think you absolutely hit it right on the head. You can see that since he's been back, since Josh has been back, Tony's play has not just been more effective, but it's been more intelligent. I mean, he's played the game the way you want him to play. You know, I said way back in, I don't know, it was November, December, when he had a great game. I can't remember against who, but he had one of those games where he put the right numbers in the right columns. And I said, this guy right here, he can play in the NBA. The 29-shot Tony Carr is not going to play in the NBA. Right. But that guy, the one that's been playing those last five games, and the one that I talked about back in November, he absolutely is a pro.
All right, which then brings me to see an opportunity like this for Penn State this late. There's certain teams that do things at different times during the course of program development. Look what Nebraska's doing right now. But, you know, you've seen this for a long time. To see Penn State play a game of this relevance later in the year against a really good Ohio State team, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I'm excited. You know, I mean, they already have one against the Buckeyes. Obviously, if they could get a sweep, one, they redefine the league race because they put the Buckeyes back in the first-place tie in the loss column with the other two contenders, Michigan State and Purdue. But obviously, it's a huge step forward for for the Nittany Lions. But if they don't get it, they have other opportunities. That's what makes the stretch run fascinating for them. You know, we looked at this at the beginning of February when we were in the studio at BTN, and I think we had both Penn State and Nebraska on our air that day, and the disparity between the two team schedules is remarkable. And if you were trying to win the league, which probably neither team can do, you would say, oh boy, give me Nebraska schedule, because I don't have to play hardly any of the good teams. But if you want to get to the tournament, you've got Penn State schedule, which had so many of them. So now that's right where we are. We're four games left for both teams, and Penn State's going to be climbing a mountain almost every night, and Nebraska's going to be surfing in the sunshine, but Nebraska can't get any more quality wins, and they don't have enough. I mean, they may have enough to get in, but they don't have enough to feel good about it. And Penn State can continue, if they continue to win, they can get the kind of wins that get you into the tournament.
Mike, it is always a pleasure. You know that. We don't talk often enough, and I appreciate the time as always, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Steve. Look forward to seeing you in New York in a few weeks.
That's a replay of the Mike DeCourcy interview from earlier this week. Mike, the top college basketball writer from the Sporting News, member of the United States College Basketball Association Writers Hall of Fame. And of course, you can catch him in studio on Big Ten Network on BTN during the in-between the games, and also the terrific Sunday night show, Big Ten Basketball and Beyond. Next hour, we've got great pro football talk with Neil Coulong from the NFL Wire. And then at 4:35, it's Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. Hour two of the Steve Jones Show coming up after the news on WKOK.
The competition is on! And this month, Sunbury Motors is going for the gold! February is the month to get Olympic-sized savings at SMC. Sunbury Motors Ford is having their annual President's Day sales event. Plus, it's truck month. SMC is where you want to be to choose from four city blocks of new Fords. SMC has discounts up to $16,000.
And some vehicles are at half price.
SMC is where you want to be to save up to $16,000 on new Ford trucks. And they start as low as $25,919. Choose from over 50 of the top-selling Ford Escape, and they're slashed to $19,980. SMC has the best hidden secret in the car business. Take over $15,000 off a C-Max Energy.
That's more than half off.
Lease it for only $179 a month for 36 months with zero down. That's right, nothing down. And it includes tax tags, plus the first payment is taken care of.
Hurry, there's only eight left.
SMC is where you want to be for Olympic-sized savings during Truck Month and the President's Day sales event. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.